Network, proudly presents The Jay's Blade Show, with your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as special guests. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of the Jay's Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Thank you so much, DJ Q, for bringing us on into a new show. So glad to have all of you listening in. We got a lot of great stuff lined up for you, so we'll get right on to it. Jay's Plays is brought to you by our brand spanking new sponsor, JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's terrific on wings, it's terrific on quesadillas, you'll love it in a Bloody Mary, anything and everything that you could put in either Frank's Red Hot or Tabasco, you want to use JB's Best instead. Throw that old sriracha out the door. This stuff's got much more flavor and tang to it. JB's Best, when it says JB's, it's the best. All right, everybody, our first guest is going to be coming back to us once again. We've had him on before. He is the president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects. He also served several years on a number of USGA committees. He is a golf course architect who has built golf courses on six of the seven continents. The only one he's missing, of course, is Antarctica. And he's a very dear friend and an excellent amateur player. Please give a warm Jay's Plays welcome back to Steve Smyer. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Jay, thank you. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. How are things down in Florida?
Well, we've had a great winter here. It's beautiful golfing weather. As a matter of fact, I just played golf the last 2 days at Isleworth Country Club in the Isleworth Wildworth Invitational, and I had as a scratch pro-am, and my partner was my son, Scott. So we had a great couple of days, beautiful weather down here, 80 degrees and sunshine, and golf is good down in Florida right now.
Now, you and your son, Scott, made quite the doubles team. I know that you made a heck of a run all the way down to the 54th hole and final hole of the Anderson Memorial at Wingfoot once. In fact, the two of you shot a 63 at Wingfoot together.
Yeah, that was on the West course. That was probably one of the highlights of my golfing career, that's for sure.
I remember you saying we went out for a little bit of father-son fun and the hole kept getting in the way of the ball.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, the old man made a lot of putts that day. That was fun. He sure did. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the Anderson and about Wingfoot and about that day in particular.
You know, when I was growing up, they called Anderson Wingfoot the home of golf. And, you know, there's been a lot of great golf facilities built over the last, you know, 20 years to kind of rival. I'm not even sure they rival Wingfoot. Wingfoot is truly one of the great golf facilities in the world. Two phenomenal golf courses, great golfing membership, and great competition there, and in a great metropolitan area. And it is truly one of the great golf facilities in the world. It's just fantastic.
It is the Yankee Stadium of golf because so much history has been made there, and it is so old and venerable.
It is. But, there are 36 great holes of golf in that place. So it is, and whatever the championship is contested there, it always identifies a great champion.
Tell everybody a bit about the format of the Anderson, and will we see you there next year?
I'd love to play next year. I'm not going to do it. My summer is very, very busy, and I'm just committed to not too much competition next summer, but I'm hoping to make it back in the next few years. It is a great competition. You play 36 holes of medal play, and they cut in the regular division, they cut to the low 16 teams for match play, and in the senior division, the low 8 teams. And I've made it in both divisions. to the match play. Never was able to win, but we finished second one time. But it's a very good competition. That's for sure.
Well, I remember covering you and Scott a couple of years ago when you made that magical run. Normally, everybody, it's a match play tournament between two team members' best ball. But that particular year, there was a storm out of the pages of the Last Judgment that had to change the entire format. They could only play 54 hole stroke play. And it was on the Saturday when they had to get everybody moving on the West course that you and Scott went out and threw up that 63.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. And it wasn't match play the last day, but it was still a neat event to play in.
And there were so many great teams nipping at your heels and chasing you down. It was really a who's who of amateur golf. So it'll be a shame to miss you there, but I'm sure you've got good reason. Tell us about everything that you're working on that's going to keep you occupied through the summer.
Well, we're doing a very, very nice project in Dallas, Texas. And you know, you've worked your whole career to get the big project, and that is a very big project. My client is a very avid golfer, very committed, very thoughtful person, very committed to the game and very committed to this project. So, we're building a players club, and he is doing all the right things to attract all the, everybody who is very passionate about the game of golf.
What do you mean when you say a players club?
It is. He is, because there's so many good golfers in and around Dallas, and we are building this golf course to host competition. He has signed up all the major tournaments already in Texas for the state amateur, the state, mid-amateur, the state team matches. And he would like to get, further championships there, maybe USGA competition, mid-am or something like that. But it is built for the amateur golfer to host championships on. And he wants to build a course where he wants people who play there can be more competitive on a national scale, because the course will be such a course that would be innovative and creative and ask people to hit different type of golf shots and ask them to really manage their golf game. And that's his mission statement. That's his directive to me to produce such a golf course. So that's our marching orders, which is a bit unusual in today's time, but we're excited about it. We're really excited about it.
Tell us a little bit about the terrain that you've got to work with and the piece of property.
You know, it's an interesting site. It's on 214 acres. There's a big 24-acre lake in the middle of the property. And then it's got 16 acres of tributaries going into it. So there's some nice water courses and a big lake. The lake, you know, it's a dammed-up lake. It was dammed up in 1908. And there was quite a bit of silt and debris on the bottom of it. So we went in for a Corps permit, Army Corps of Engineers, to dredge the lake, to clean it up and to reconfigure it so that we could have some golf holes connecting to the lake. So we got it was a pretty expensive and lengthy process to do that, but we got that. And then what we wanted to do is create, it's a softly rolling site. But we wanted to accentuate the hillside. So we used all the dirt from the lake to build up hillsides even more, and to give those hillsides a natural look. My client is very much a tree conservationist. So we took some of the bigger oak trees on the property and preserved the oak trees, and we built the hillside. We lifted oak trees up and we moved them and put them on top of the hills, so it looks like these hills have been there forever. And it was an expensive proposition, but it was a very unique project. And a lot of great golf courses are built on very dynamic landscape settings. and we have a nice landscape setting to begin with, but we actually are building a landscape setting there. And by
about how much elevation change will you have?
Jay, we're creating these hillsides. They're going from 15 feet, and we're putting 40 feet on top of it. So we're creating these hillsides that go up 50 feet. And across the site, I really don't know. We've probably got a couple hundred feet elevation change across the site. But the lake is a very dynamic feature, and it occupies the center of the property, and all the golf holes radiate around it, and everything that we're doing will direct the golfer's attention to the lake. And then that in combination with the big oak trees we transplanted, plus all the native grasses that we're planting on the property, you're going to feel like golf is really integrated into the landscape, and it's going to have a very unique feel.
When will the club be open for play?
Be open in the spring of 2017.
And will it be public access or a private club?
It's a private club. It's a private club. Yeah.
But they've already got some good tournaments lined up, though.
They do. Well, the Texas Golf Association has got a lot of tournaments lined up, and like I say, we're hoping to be friends with the USGA, and we're actually going to host some qualifier, U.S. Open qualifier there. That's already signed up. The second stage, the sectional qualifier. So, we expect that club to be kind of a golfer's club in that part of the world. And then we're also building a golf course down in South America on the equator, on the Pacific Ocean. And the 16, 17, 18 are right on the ocean. So it's a pretty neat project that we're doing down there.
I hear you guys like joking around about sending El Nino up our way from down there.
That's right. El Nino is a big weather event going on, and El Nino starts at the equator and the Pacific Ocean on the coast, and it's starting right where our site is, and we're getting a tremendous amount of rains down there right now.
Tell us a little bit more about that golf course, too. What's the idea and the concept behind the course? Will it be public or private? And
it is a resort course. The people from Quito, which is a small but avid golfing population, Quito is in the mountains. It's the big city in Ecuador. And it's in the mountains. And to 10,000 feet, and the people there like to get away and go to the coast. So this will be a coastal resort for those people. Plus, also they hope to attract a lot of people. Ecuador is the number one getaway retirement place for people from North America. So they plan on attracting a lot of North Americans to that place as well. But it will be a nice resort area.
Now, if I recall correctly, you were telling me you have a number of different ecosystems on that piece of property.
Yeah, it is interesting. That whole country has a lot of different ecosystems. But we go along the ocean with the last finishing holes, but we go along a river and into a jungle where there's a lot of wild monkeys. And we've got some cobra snakes running around the property as well. So it's a... It is quite a diverse, and then we go into a savanna area and up, and then another couple holes go up into mountains. So it is a very diverse ecosystem and a very diverse landscape setting as well.
And when will that be open?
The anticipated opening for 9 holes will be, next year. And then the other 9 holes will be early the following year, 2018.
Now, you've also been tinkering with your home club of Old Memorial near Tampa. So tell us a little bit about what's happening with that project. Everyone loved the golf course before you started to make changes, and now apparently they're going to love it even more. So tell us how and why you've improved the club.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you've been around long enough, your courses that have been around a while, with all the improvements in the turf grasses and whatnot, the forward-thinking clubs will want to keep up with the trends, and they'll want to introduce the newer grasses into their courses. So at Old Memorial, we wanted to introduce the latest and greatest turf grasses for the fairways and fair roughs. So that's the Celebration Bermuda. And in doing so, the course was built 17 years ago, the bunkers had never been looked after. So we wanted to introduce the latest and greatest technology in bunker construction and the newer stands for the bunkers. So
now, Billy bunkers in those bunkers or something?
We didn't do Billy bunkers because of all the native soil. We really didn't need it, but we redid the drainage. We re-sculptured the look of the bunkers, and we put in the newer sands, and the golf course overall reads a lot better. So when because I was able to go back, and I related to a writer who writes an article, and then 17 years later goes back and looks at that article and says, you know, I got the right point across, but I could have said it a little bit differently and a little better. So that's what we did at Old Memorial. We feel like it was a strong golf course from a strategic and a shot making point of view, and the golf course still aesthetically looked good, but we thought we could improve upon it aesthetically, and that's what we were able to do. Plus the fact that with the modern day grasses, the greens roll a little faster, and we addressed all the little contours in the greens to make them more conducive to today's modern day green speed. And the response has been very positive, so we're very happy with it.
And so, now also, you're a big fan of Charles Blair McDonald and Seth Rayner and Charles Steam Shovel Banks and their architecture. We know that you like to try to take some of those ideas and infuse them into your golf courses. For those of our listeners that are big fans of McDonald, Rayner, and Banks, where can we see your sort of homages to them at Old Memorial, at your club in Quito, or at the new course in Dallas?
Well, I tell you, the Charles Blair McDonald, what they did, and Seth Rayner, they produced very geometric forms to make those patterns jump out at you so you would focus in on the target. So that was very much what their design philosophy was. And we did a course in Chicago called Butterfield that very much is right out of the playbook of Seth Rayner and Charles Blair McDonald. I think that Old Memorial would be more out of the playbook of Alistair McKenzie and the Sandbelt courses of Australia. As a matter of fact, Greg Norman played in the U.S. Open qualifier there years ago, and he said it was as close to Royal Melbourne as any course he'd ever seen. And we chose the McKenzie. We came from the McKenzie School of Design because the site was very much like the Sandbelt sites down in Melbourne, Australia, which McKenzie was so prolific there.
And what are those attributes? What are the design features and concepts of McKenzie, and how do they differ from McDonald, Rayner, and Banks?
Well, I think that, like I said, McDonald, Rayner, and Banks use very geometric shapes, and they pop those shapes out of the land, out of a rolling terrain. They have a lot of rolling terrains, and they pop those geometric shapes out to make your eye focus on those targets. McKenzie blended his shapes and patterns more into the surrounding landscape. And he integrated those shapes more into the surrounding landscape, and the bunkers, the bunker pattern and the bunker styles more were of the flashed up sand, and the bunkers, one edge of the bunkering would go into the native plant material, and the golf course side would be more hard, sharp edges. And so the yin and yang of those two patterns, really made your eye read down the fairway really good. So he integrated more of his patterns into the landscape where Charles Blair McDonnell and Seth Rayner popped those features out of the landscape and produced more geometric patterns. Both of those design philosophies would allow your eye to dot down the golf hole and settle on the target. They just handled sights differently. And I felt like the old memorial site, which was all sandy soil, that came more out of the McKenzie school of design, whereas Butterfield was more of a rolling landscape with a clay soil. I felt that type of design would fit more the Rayner Banks design philosophy would fit that site more. So we try to fit the designs more to site specific more than anything else.
We're talking with Steve Smyers, the current president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects and a golf course architect himself who has designed on all six continents that are inhabited at least. I am Jay Flama of the Golf News Net Radio Network, and you're listening to Jay's Place. We will be right back after this message.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.